And speaking of Congress, we don't know if he's ever been called a bad cop before, but we're joined now by Dan Kildee, Democratic congressman representing Michigan's 5th District. Congressman, welcome.
Hi, John. How are you?
So I'm great. And you're watching this very, very closely because there are some human faces detained in Iran that are very much on your mind. Why don't you remind us all of the detainees that you're concerned with, including one who's in your district?
Well, that's right. There are at least three individuals, maybe a fourth, in Iran. Amir Hikmati is a young man from my hometown of Flint, Michigan, who has been now almost 4 years in an Iranian prison. Of course, we know about Jason Rezaian, the Washington Post reporter, whose trial is apparently still underway. Pastor Saeed Abedini is still being held. And the fate or condition of Robert Levinson is unknown. And so what we've obviously been asking for is that Iran release those three Americans and provide whatever information they have about Mr. Levinson. Obviously, that would make a big difference to the families and would send a pretty strong signal that Iran is serious as it attempts apparently to rejoin the global community.
Robert Levinson, of course, former FBI agent who has been missing since 2008. Now, Dan Kildee, do you have any information that the fate of these detainees in for various reasons, and you've outlined very well the various different situations for them, are they bargaining chips? Are they on the table? Are they specifically part of the bargaining here, or are they something over on the side?
Well, they've definitely not been a part of the consideration, and we don't want, the families don't want that to be the case either. After all, number one, these families, the family I represent, the Hikmati family for sure, and Amir himself, would not want to have his fate tied to the uncertain outcome of a negotiation that many think could go 50-50 at best, number one. Second, we wouldn't want ever to be in a position that we would exchange the freedom of innocent Americans for concessions that might make the world a less safe place. So if they were part of the transaction, by definition, something would have been given in order to secure their freedom. And that something would be perhaps a step that would make the world a less safe place. And we don't want that. The Americans being held don't want that. And I know Amir Hikmati himself has said he does not want to be traded for something at the negotiating table.
But is it fair to say that if they do get a deal and we can move beyond this, that a distraction is suddenly off the road and it could be more clear sailing?
I would hope so. And I think the Iranian government must be coming to the understanding that as they continue to hold these Americans, that it's a liability to them. It's a liability in terms of the way the world, and speaking more for myself and my colleagues, the American Congress, it's how we perceive them. After all, it's impossible for us to erase from our mind Iran's other behavior when we consider the efficacy of any agreement or any engagement that Iran chooses to seek with the rest of the world, whether it's a nuclear agreement or commercial or, you know, economic engagement with the rest of the world. It's impossible for us to erase their other behaviors from our thinking when we consider their position on the globe.
Speaking of behavior, and it could be a slightly sensitive subject here, but how do you assess the potential for really making things much worse for you if Congress reviews this deal? The Iranians, of course, call Congress the bad cops here, that they don't want a deal. Do you think that your Republican colleagues have been responsible in the way they've criticized this deal, or are you concerned?
Well, I think some of them have been responsible. I have good relationships with thoughtful members on both sides and have worked with thoughtful members like Ed Royce on both sides of the aisle. But, of course, there are voices that right now, it wouldn't matter what was in this deal, they would oppose it, and they've made it very clear. I think the actions of Senator Tom Cotton, for example, and the others that sort of went along with his efforts were clearly intended simply to scuttle any agreement without any consideration as to what would be in it. I actually think at the end of the day, there are enough thoughtful voices in Congress on both sides of the aisle on this question that given the structure of the way Congress will consider it, that we will make a judgment based on whether the agreement, if it is reached, will simply make the world safer. And I think that ultimately at the end of the day will rule our thinking.
Well, it's good to hear. Dan Kildee watching the Iran negotiations in Vienna very, very closely. He's a Democratic congressman representing Michigan's 5th Congressional District. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.